God, as we come to you, we ask that you will open eyes and ears and hearts this morning. Father, I pray for changed hearts this morning. I pray for your grace to come and fill us and renew us and sustain us. God, I pray that your word will nourish our soul and help us to endure. We know we do not walk this faith alone. We do not walk in our own strength or in our own knowledge. It's by your grace, with your Holy Spirit guiding us and teaching us. God, I pray that you will use this morning to encourage your people to change us and strengthen us as your children, as your servants and your people. God, may those around us know, not us, but you. And may you use this morning for that. God, as you do it for us, we pray that you'll do it for our sister churches around the area. Those other fellowships who are Christ-centered, gospel-focused, Bible-believing churches. Father, we do not pretend to be a new church in a unreached area. We know that you have planted other churches in our area, and we pray for those fellowships as well. We pray for those brothers preaching your word this morning, that they'll preach it rightly and that it will not fall on deaf ears, that all of your people this morning will be nourished through your word. God, I pray that you will use us in this community to bring forth your word, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And God, may it begin here as we receive the good news. God, we pray also this month for Jared Huntley, pastor of Pillar DC, and his wife Jen. Father, we thank you for enabling that young church to endure, to partner and now combine with McLean Bible Church, Main Avenue, and together now as a new body, proclaim the good news there in D.C. We pray that you will strengthen them also, provide for their needs and what they need, and may many come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our partners, Chris and Megan Guthrie, with Wycliffe Bible Translators. We thank you for this new stage of their ministry, working in Texas to support Bible translation with Seed Company. We thank you for what you're doing through Wycliffe Bible Translators. We pray that you'll provide for the Guthries as well, that they'll be nourished and they'll be rejuvenated. And Father, that their work will continue along with other faithful brothers and sisters translating your word into mother tongue so more can read and hear and understand your word. God, we do pray for the Pashtuns this morning. Lord, 25 million people trapped in the false religion of Islam. 25 million precious people who think that they are working themselves into your good graces. God, break those chains that hold them down and have their view on this world and what they do. God, I pray that you will give them the spiritual eyes to see you, that you'll give them new hearts, that you'll save men and women among the Pashtun and raise up brothers who will preach the gospel boldly. God, we pray for churches to be planted among the Pashtun. We pray that all of the traditions and the oral traditions and the rituals that they've done for years and years will not blind them or keep them away from the good news. But may you send maybe a brother or sister from this fellowship to the Pashtuns to give the good news of Jesus Christ. God, we know that one day every tribe, every nation, every people, every tongue will bow at your feet and praise you. We pray that you will include the Pashtuns. We know that you will, and we thank you for that. Lord, again, thank you for this fellowship. Thank you for your word as we turn to it now. It's in your name I pray. Amen. In 2017, Hurricane Harvey hit different parts of the state of Texas. Many of you will remember that. The city of Houston was especially affected. Just for a second. city of Houston was especially affected by Hurricane Harvey. You'll remember that there was massive, widespread flooding all over the city, and many of us watched as homes and roads were covered by huge amounts of rain and flood water as we prayed for their safety. 2 years later, after that storm, people are still trying to put pieces of their life together. They're trying to rebuild what they lost. That happens when disaster strikes. You don't have to look to a hurricane to know that. There's all kinds of disasters that we face in life. And then we're left with picking up the pieces. Well, with Houston, that area was decimated. 13 million people were affected. 135,000 homes were destroyed or damaged. And tragically, 88 people lost their lives, families forever affected by that storm. In response, the SBC, the Southern Baptist Convention, sent out disaster relief teams to help. These are Christians who volunteered to help out during times of disaster, times of great struggle, and they share the love of Christ in a tangible way while they help rebuild, and that provides opportunity to then share the gospel. Well, like Hurricane Harvey, the church of Ephesus was facing disaster. It has been 5 to 7 years since Paul was with the church at Ephesus. And at some tragic point, the Ephesian elders failed to protect the church from false teachers. These false teachings had affected every aspect of life in the church. Disaster was looming. Timothy had been sent to assist the church and refashion it in the way that it was established. Paul then writes this letter to Timothy for the church, and not just Ephesus, but the entire church. It's for all churches. And Paul is reminding that the church is to be a pillar of truth, a pillar of God's truth. Upholding the truth of God is a crucial piece that holds back the flood of false doctrine. In upholding truth, Paul's begun to describe the inner workings of the church so that the truth will be guarded, so that the truth will be taught and received and loved and cherished and proclaimed. Last week, you'll remember that Paul gave instructions and the qualifications for elders in the church. They are to be leaders who are mature, who model Christ's likeness, who teach, and who shepherd the flock. This morning, Paul's turning his attention to deacons. It's an important office in the church. And yet, while it's widely accepted what elder means, that elder means leader, the role of deacons varies from church to church. It can be really confusing. Different churches have deacons doing different functions for the church. One has deacons be the coordinators for ministries. In another, the deacons are the official servants of the church. Some have deacons as the de facto elders, since those churches don't have the office of elders. They went away from it. They use deacons in that role. The deacons are the ones who are making the decisions. And this is especially popular in the Old South today. Biblically, there is a difference between elder and deacon. There's a difference between deacon and all who serve. They are not the official servants of the church. Deacon means more than being a servant. All of God's people, every single one of us here, every believer is a servant in the church. Every member is given grace to serve and to build up the body of Christ. Hear what Ephesians 4:7 says. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. God gave gifts to everyone in the church for the good of the church. God has said every one of his people serves the church. We minister to one another, but not everyone is a deacon. This is the other office in the church, and it too has qualifications for it. God gave leaders to equip the saints for the work of ministry for all of us to share God's truth and love. So if everyone serves in the church, if you're a believer this morning and God said you serve in this church, and there's the office of elder and the elders teach and lead the church, what is a deacon? What do they do? They are not independent or isolated from other parts of the church. In fact, to understand the role of deacons, we need to understand the role of elders. And we did that last week. Alexander Strock, author of Biblical Eldership, also wrote a book on deacons. He claims this: deacons are not a separate autonomous body of officials disconnected from the body of overseers. Now, the council of elders, whatever name you put on the group of elders, the eldership, the overseers, they stand alone. What I mean by that is that in the church, the leaders are called elders. That's very clear. It's biblical. You go to a gospel-centered church, elder means leader. The church affirms them. Qualified men, then shepherd and pastor the church. Deacons only have a role in the church in relation to the elders. There should not be deacons without elders. Their function was created directly because of and in relation to the elders. We see this in Acts 6. If you'll put your thumb there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and then turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 6. That's page 914 in the Church Bible. We'll see here in Acts 6 an early example of those who help elders, beginning in verse 1. Acts 6, verse 1. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to ministry of the word.'" So the 12 apostles had 7 men appointed to wait on tables so they, the elders, could devote themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. That is what you want your elders to do. That is where you want your elders to be focused on, is on prayer and ministry of the word. Now, the word used to serve tables in Acts 6 is the verb form of the word we get deacon from. It's diakoneo. Now, diakoneo is verb for deacon, okay? In a transliterating way, anyone who serves could be deaconing, okay? That's just direct transliteration from the Greek to serving. Okay, so we have there serving tables we get the word deacon as part of that. That's the verb form. Now, many people, because of that, because Paul mentions deacon in 1 Timothy and then in the book of Acts 6, many people then link those passages together, 1 Timothy and Acts 6. But Paul doesn't do that. Paul doesn't refer to that time in Acts 6. In 1 Timothy, Paul does not describe any specific task that the deacons are to do. He doesn't mention the serving of food towards widows or serving of tables in particular. Nor is serving food to the widows specified in the book of Acts as the role of elders or of deacons. They weren't given a title there in Acts 6. The seven men were just appointed to do that service on behalf of the elders. Now, being a deacon may, in fact, include the act of serving in that way with food, of serving tables. I'm not denying that. I just want us to see that there's not a direct word-for-word connection between these two passages, but they are connected. It's definitely tied into what the elders are doing. There's a relationship there, is what I want to point out to you, between elders and deacons. Deacon includes serving, but it's because all Christians serve. That's not just their role. When you look for servants in the church, you know, oh, there's deacons, they serve. No, it's all of God's people in the church. All of us serve. Serving does not make you a deacon. There's another passage in the New Testament that mentions deacons, and that's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul addresses them specifically in his introduction. At the beginning of his letter, he writes to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons. Again, deacons are called out here from all the other saints. So being a Christian in the church doesn't make you a deacon. It's something else then. What is it? What is it that makes a person a deacon? What does a deacon do? Notice already in these passages that I've read to you, every time a deacon is mentioned, they're connected to the elders. You have the elders and then the deacons. If we look at all three passages and combine them in context, right? You always want to look at Scripture in context, never leaving that context. We see deacons having the role of assisting elders. And I'm making a distinction between serving and assisting, because I don't want us to get in our mind, deacons, they serve. No, all of God's people serve. Deacons assist the elders. Now, to make it clear, deacons are not elders. They're not some kind of sub-elder. They are not the mini-me's of elders. They are not the elder wannabes. They can't hack it as an elder, so we'll make them a deacon. No, that's wrong. This is a separate office. Deacons assist the elders by representing them and carrying out tasks given by the elders. It's a practical, tangible help. So deacons are under the authority of the elders, but are given authority over the congregation to carry out the tasks given to them by the elders on behalf of the church. You can call deacons assistants to the elders. Thus, Strock's subtitle for this book on deacons, Assisting the Elders with the Care of God's Church. His book helped me tremendously in preparation for this sermon. I highly, highly recommend it. Now, this is not just Strock's point of view, though. He points out that Paul had need for assistance. You could turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 22. Where Paul sent out two of his helpers or assistants, Timothy and Erastus, into Macedonia. The word diakoneo being used again. They helped Paul in ministry in that region. Now, what about the deacons in 1 Timothy? What about the deacons in our passage here? The elders have an enormous responsibility for leading and teaching. It takes a lot of time and work if elders are going to be shepherding well. And because we're dealing with a lot of heart issues in the church, and it's all wrapped up in theology, learning about God and applying it to our lives, that takes all that an elder is. In fact, more so. An elder very quickly, a new elder, realizes they don't have everything they need to care for God's flock the way that the flock needs. They need to seek God and spend time studying His Word. Like the apostles who devoted themselves to prayer and ministry of the Word in Acts 6. Now look with me, if you will, at 1 Timothy chapter 5, later in our book, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It's the same there for the elders. It says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." Like in Acts 6, the elders who devoted themselves to prayer and ministry of the word, elders devoting themselves to labor in preaching and teaching, they have the same commitment. They have the same load and they need help. If a church is going to be healthy and grow mature in Christ, to be built up in love, there needs to be others who will assist the elders and serve the church in that way. Who's going to do it? Well, look at God's design for the church. God has designed to where it's not one group within the church that supports and does it all for the church. God has just, in all of His wisdom, in all of His sovereignty and looking forward and knowing all things, God has put this design for the church to where we all serve, and there are some who lead and who preach, and then there's some who help them kind of live out and help others understand and work out what's being taught and preached. And they help fill in those cracks that the elders are responsible for so that nothing falls through, that the foundation stays solid and the structure of the church is strong. The people are growing and maturing in love and fervor for Christ. This is God's provision for the church. Picture a nanny helping a mother. A mother has a lot of love for her child. One child is a full-time job. Caring and nurturing this child is a full-time job. It takes everything in a mother to do it well. And now imagine a house full of children. She may ask a nanny to come and help. Now the nanny is not the mother. The nanny helps and does different things that the mother would do if the mother had time and a million hands. That love that a mother has for the child is the same kind of love elders have for the church. The love and the care, the shepherding, if you will, for the church. And to help love and care for them, God has put some sheep in the fold to nudge other sheep, to lead them to the water trough, to care for them while the shepherds are tending the flock. The elders focus on what's needed for the tending, the prayer, the preaching, and the teaching, and the deacons then help with that tending. They support the ministry of the word. The deacons focus on serving the body tangibly, sharing the love of Christ with the church So the ministry of the word will have all of the attention and the emphasis that's needed for the church. Deacons help the elders with the work of ministry, serving in specific areas that the elders determine there's need. Basically, the deacons execute the vision and the care of the elders that they have for the church, that the elders have for the church. Now, who serves in the role of deacon? What qualifies a person, qualifies for serving as deacon? Well, we turn here in our text this morning. Now, all of this so far was a long introduction to our text. Now, someone may be like, well, Pastor, I didn't have breakfast this morning. You're wanting us to stay for discipleship time too. Well, our text is about qualification for deacons. So we need to understand qualified for what? We need to understand the distinction in the roles between elder and deacon. All of us this morning, all of this before us that I've gone over is a smorgasbord of truth that feeds the soul. It's like a buffet of grace-filled strength for the church, enabling us to feast on the nourishment that's for our church. Our bellies need filled, but more importantly, our hearts need sustenance. And together, we need grounding to build a healthy, Christ-loving church. We need to know the right structure to build if we're going to have a strong house. Now, why should knowing the role of deacons matter to you personally? Well, because Christians who are not serving, if they're waiting to be served, are thinking, maybe they're thinking the officers of the church and staff will take care of things. They have reversed God's design for the household of believers. We all of us in God's church, we need to understand the role of elders and deacons, that they're not the only ministries in the church. You need to know what elders and deacons do so that you can then fulfill your role here in the church. For some men, it will be future elder. For others in the church, it will be deacons. For the rest, it will be serving in ministry and doing good works for the good of the church, following the deacons and the elders. Let's look at the qualifications for deacons. For the church to have the love and care intended, we cannot take a careless, nonchalant approach to who serves in the office of deacon. It really matters. And the qualifications must be to God's standards, not culture, not our own ideas, but only what God has given in Scripture. Five qualifications are given to us in verses 8 and 9. Like the elders, deacons must have a certain character about them. They must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to too much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain, and must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Basically, they should be living out the gospel in real ways. Their lives are to be testimonies to the effects of God's love and grace. They should be growing and being drawn more to Christ. This helps protect the message of the gospel. Every part of the church and every office of the church is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Deacons must be well thought of, dignified, worthy of respect. Verse 10 says they're found to be blameless in character, not double-tongued, but always speaking truth. Their words are to be dependable and Christ-centered. They don't excuse white lies, but give and emphasize truthful, faithful speech. Deacons shouldn't have drinking binges, excessive use of alcohol. All the time on social media, it pops up that you'll see people adding wine to everyday living and events. In order to have a good time, they add this, and you see it all the time on social media. They look forward to the wine. That's not a deacon. That's not a deacon. They don't need that. If a person is going to serve on behalf of the elders who care for the church, they need someone who's not looking for gain for themselves. They can't be greedy. Deacons are to look out for the good of the members. A deacon should be a Christian who knows the beliefs of our faith and holds firmly to them. They're not easily swayed by smooth talkers. They have conviction for the truth, and they lovingly hold on to it. Paul says, holding to the mystery of the faith. He doesn't mean deacons understand all the ins and outs of the faith in the church. They know that belief means there's distinction between the truth of the gospel and other false teachings. Qualified deacons know that truth is found in one place, and that's the Bible. And it speaks of only one person who provides one way of salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. They believe by the grace of God in his love for us, Christ takes the punishment for his people, and he adopts them. He adopts these orphans, and he makes them children into his household. And he keeps them in his power because he wants to, because God loves his children. These orphans, now children, are given grace and mercy and love, and everything who the Father is becomes everything to them. Deacons hold this to be true. They live in this truth with a clear conscience. Their life demonstrates this belief in Christ. Now, like the elders, deacons are to be examined to make sure that they hold these traits, that they're qualified. Their examination must be taken seriously, because we're dealing with souls. We're dealing with hearts that need real nourishment. Now, verse 11 introduces a difficult verse that's interpreted in different ways. The topic of women serving in the church rises again. It did in the prior passage about elders. Here are some important truths about this verse. Your translation, if you're not using the, well, even if you are using the ESV, different translations say either wives or women. That's because the same root word in Greek can mean either wives or women. This could mean wives of deacons, women deacons, or women who help the deacons in some other role. And the word deacon doesn't help us in sorting this out and what's the meaning of this verse, because deacon can mean masculine or feminine. It's neutral. So the word doesn't help us. Deacons, we know, are not called to teach. It's not one of the qualifications listed here, which is the connection with elders and men leading the church and showing the household meaning of the gospel. And when you think of it like that, deacons helping elders could look like a helpmate helping the man. Churches look at this part differently. Grace and liberty in the faith is needed when looking at this verse. Well-meaning, gospel-centered churches can look at this verse differently and remain united in the gospel message and the testimony of God's grace. Unity in the church should compel us to allow freedom of conscience in this area. We have to set aside preferences and preconceived notions and look at Scripture for what it says in context. We study Scripture and look for the truth, and when our own thoughts and opinions don't line up with that, We need to submit and follow what God says. We lean on the Holy Spirit, and when it's not clear, like in this verse, we offer grace toward one another. Some other aspects to point out. In verse 11, your translation most likely has the word likewise, or the phrase in the same way. Normally, in Scripture, the biblical author uses that word or that phrase to introduce a new subject. Also, in verse 11, if verse 11 is about deacons' wives, it doesn't match back up in verse 1 in talking about elders. Why talk about what's required of deacons' wives and not lay out the same for elders' wives? But as soon as you ask that question, verse 12 says clearly, let deacons each be the husband of one wife. Now you see how people look at this, and with well-meaning, gospel-centered Christians can come up with a different interpretation of this. So which is it? I wanted to see what others I trust thought. So I went on a website that I trust. One website had two articles about this. One said it means women deacons. And then the very next article said it's males only. Conservative, complementarian Christians can differ and do differ on this. The support for, look to Romans 16:1 in addition to this passage, where Phoebe is mentioned. She is described as a servant or a deacon of the church. Support for men only said that Paul only commended Phoebe for serving, not calling her by an official title and giving her an official role. So with this difficult verse, here's where I've come to. So as to not cause confusion for the church, anytime a deacon is needed in the area of leading or teaching, assisting the elders in leading and teaching the gathered church, a male deacon should be appointed. That way it doesn't cause confusion for the church. All other areas like mercy ministry, hospitality, greeting, helping with children, the poor, the needy, preparing the Lord's Supper is open to women. Now, since I'm a single elder right now, I submit myself to future correction in this. As we have a council of elders and any changes needed, we'll follow those changes. We want to be biblical. Now, lastly, in verse 13, for deacons who serve well, a reward is promised. It says they will gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. What encouragement for deacons and the church at large. What great encouragement for us. Deacons will be known in the church as being faithful to Christ and his bride. That will further be assurance that God's grace is at work in them, building confidence in their faith. Deacons serve an important role in the church by giving elders the hands to care for needs. So the elders can focus on ministry of the word through preaching and teaching. They further enhance and emphasize how important God's word is. And they help the church then live it out, to live up to the testimony that we've been given. Verse 13 says it well. This gives great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That is for deacons, and it's also for all of God's people. May God help us to love and care and serve him well. May we appoint future deacons who will take this commitment seriously and do it for the glory of God. And as the church lives this out, the world sees Christ in us and are given this great gift of witnessing the incredible working of God's grace in people. God's design is a beautiful display of who he is and how he wants his church to be. Let's pray.